time, say word. See your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, first book of the New Testament. Lord, I pray people find it easy. And I pray you speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless us today, God. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read a name to you. I want to tell me if you know who this person is. Stephanie Joanna Angelina Germanotta. Germanotta. Anybody know who that is? That's Lady Gaga. Everyone say Lady Gaga. Y'all know who Lady Gaga is, right? Who does not know who Lady Gaga is? Okay, Lady Gaga has been, she's a singer, rock singer, and she's been named by Forbes magazine the number one most powerful celebrity in the world. Her first record came out in 2008. Her last album, Born This Way, is the main song in that last album, just came out. Sold 1.1 million copies in 1 week. And Born This Way is a gospel as she preaches, and basically in that song, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read some of the lyrics to you, is that God made me this way, and I can be whatever he's made me and be proud of it. As a matter of fact, her message on MTV, she said she was created for three reasons. One, God put me on this earth for three reasons: to make loud music, gay videos, and cause a ruckus. And she's all about challenging, encouraging people to accept who they are, not be ashamed of anything about how they're made, your sexual orientation or whatever it is. Just be who you are and be proud of it. You don't have to be ashamed. And in matter of fact, she refers to herself as the mother monster and all her fans as little monsters. And so we want to talk to the little monsters. But here, let me read this to you. These are lyrics. It says, there's nothing wrong with loving who you are, because he made you perfect, babe. This is from the song Born That Way. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Listen to me when I say, I'm beautiful in my way, because God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Don't hide yourself in regret. Just love yourself, and you're set. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. A different lover is not a sin. Believe, capital H-I-M. I love my life. I love this record. And mi amore vole fea, means love needs faith. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, chola, or orient maid, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to be brave. And those are some of the lyrics of the song. But the song basically says, God made you. He doesn't make a mistake. And whatever you feel, that's who you are. And be proud of it and live that way. Now, I've summarized all this into a sentence, and this may not be exactly accurate, but basically, God made me this way, accepts me the way I am, and unconditionally loves me. Therefore, so should you. Now, a lot of people in our country that take that summary, that's my summary, may not be exactly what they believe. It may not be exactly what they would say, but that's what my summary is. And there are a lot of people who live different lifestyles based on that belief that God made me this way, I was born this way, and I'm going to express it, I'm going to be proud of it, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to hate myself. I'm going to love myself. The LGBT community the ones I know would definitely believe that. God made me this way. And so this sermon series is called Exposed. You're in week two if you're a visitor. And this sermon series is not about looking at people who live differently or what some would say is questionable and criticizing them. This sermon series is about what God says about our heart when we do criticize them and how we should, on a biblical level, love people who live a lifestyle different than what you might think is biblical. And so we're going to look at our own heart. And hopefully God will encourage you and show you and encourage you how to love people more biblically versus being someone who is judgmental and critical of people. And so turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to tell you what's very interesting. This is our second week doing this sermon. And it's very interesting the number of people who walk out. And I want to go outside and say, you know, why are you walking out? And so I want to encourage you. I mean, you can walk out if you want. It's fine. I'm good with that. But I want to encourage you because this is to us. And when I say us, people who claim to be Christian, that you would let God reveal in your heart how you can love people better. Our number one commandment, and by the way, is no commandment even close. Jesus said it's number one commandment, to love God with your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We have to do that really well above everything else. And so even if God's kind of nudging you and you're kind of getting uncomfortable, at least stick it out for the next few minutes and then take it for what is, and take with it what you will. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? I want you to think of a little piece of sawdust and then a plank of wood. Okay? Jesus is saying here is that be careful that you don't look at other people and see something that you think is wrong and judge that wrong thing, lest you be judged with the same measure. Not only are you going to be judged because you don't know what you're talking about, but you're going to be judged because you're talking about it. Because I know a lot of Christians who will, in the name of Christianity, in their own mind, it's not a biblical thing, criticize and gossip about people, and by the way, whoever, Christians or non-Christians, and say things when they don't know what they're saying and justify saying it and justify the gossip and the division they're causing and the backbiting they're doing. All of those things are sin and of himself. Even if something what you're saying is true, you need to just shut your mouth. You're wrong in just saying it. Because what you're now you're planting something in someone else's head about something when it's only part of the story. And so Jesus is saying, be careful that you don't judge lest you be judged. And you're talking about one thing in someone's life when you don't really know the whole story, and you got this big plank on your eye. Matter of fact, let's read it. It gets even more graphic. It says in verse 4, it says, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, you're claiming you see a speck of sawdust in someone else's eye when you got Yosemite Forest growing on your face. This is Jesus' words. I'm just kind of bringing it up to 2012. He says, because you have this forest growing on your face, and these trees of all this stuff in your own life, how is it that you can see the one thing in that person? How is that possible? Adam and Eve were the first two men and women, and they had a son named Cain and a son named Abel. And Cain offered a sacrifice to God, and God rejected it. Abel offered a sacrifice to God, and God accepted it. And Cain got upset and killed his brother. The reason Cain killed his brother was not because of his brother. He killed his brother because of him and God. He and God had a falling out, and he was discouraged, and he took his discouragement out on Cain, his brother. And when his brother's blood was crying up to God, God said, where's your brother? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, most definitely you are. Now, the reason I tell you that story is because if you have a problem with people, it may be because you got a problem with God. Now, it doesn't mean, and this is not about approving people's behavior or not. This is about how do you love people? Because there's other sermons we could talk about how to talk to people who have different opinions about lifestyles or whatever. That's a different sermon. This is about how am I a conduit to love to other people? Now, need a little background on this philosophy of God made me and you can't, don't criticize me, we all should just get along. There's a philosophy called tolerant. You have to be tolerant. You've heard that term. We live in a tolerant society. And a tolerant society basically says that there are no absolute truths. There is no absolute right or wrong. You could do what you want, and because there's no absolute right or wrong, no one can tell another person what to believe or how to live. How many of y'all heard that before? Okay, very good. I'll say, so this tolerance thing, now, personally, I'm telling you that's not biblical, and in my opinion, it's wrong. Okay, but so I just so you know where I'm standing, I'm just telling you what society will believe and what this philosophy of the little monsters is. We all need to be tolerant of each other and believe whatever we want to believe. So you need to understand where people are coming from. Now, it was ironic about being tolerant is that people who are tolerant will call you a bigot if you're not tolerant. Now, just in case you missed that, I've had countless conversations with people who are tolerant about this, you know, in disagreements, etc. And this person said, there's no absolute truth. There are no absolute truths, so you need to tolerate everybody. And I said, are you absolutely sure? He said, yes, I'm absolutely sure. I said, well, isn't that an absolute statement? You just made an absolute statement that there are no absolute truths. So how could your absolute statement be true if there are no absolute truths? You can't say that. So if someone, and again, I've had these conversations with people saying, you know, you're a bigot. I says, well, how can you call me a bigot and be tolerant? If you're tolerant, you need to tolerate my bigotry. Now, that's not what today's sermon's about, so I'm not going to get into that. But the reason I bring that up is for a couple reasons. You need to understand where people are coming from and all the people who are against Christianity or just frustrated with it, and you live in the tolerant world, you need to understand how you need to be better tolerant yourself. And so I preach this sermon based on this is my opinion. I believe the Bible teaches us, and by the way, about how we need to love everybody. So that's what this message is about. It's not about condoning behavior of the tolerant or condemning. It's about us loving them. Us loving them and how to be better. So number one in your notes. Number one. Three things we can do to better love the little monsters. The people who believe God made me this way. He accepts me this way, and he loves me unconditionally. Number one, we need to agree that God did make them, just like he made you. Number one of your notes, we need to acknowledge God's image in everybody. The Bible says that God made man in his image, Genesis 1:26. He didn't make some man in his image. And by the way, he didn't make only Christians in his image. He made everybody in his image. What does that mean? Well, one, he made man creative. There is no creature on this planet that is as creative as people. God made us uniquely above everything else to be creative like him. For example, if you look around the room wherever you are and everywhere you go for the rest of your life, you will never find one person that is exactly like you. Not one. Every zebra is uniquely striped. Every leopard is uniquely spotted. Every tree has its own DNA. I can go on and on forever, really, because I'm really into this science stuff. Every fish, every shark, there's 150 kind of parrots. We can go on and on and on, and they're all unique because God created them unique, and he's marvelously creative. And only humans did he give us his creativity. Matter of fact, animals live very robotic lives. They migrate at certain days. They mate at certain times for a very specific reason, procreation, hardly ever for pleasure. They have very limited songs. Birds sing the same song. You ever notice in the morning, I don't know if you have doves in your neighborhood, in the morning you hear, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Anybody? Can I get an amen? It's like, get a new song, brother. Get a new song. Same time every day. They say the same thing. Just listen. And so he says, you're going to sing this song. You're going to sing. And he says, but with humans, creativity. You're not only going to eat one food, you're going to create foods. You're not only going to sing one song, you're going to create genres of music. You're not only going to wear one set of clothes, you're going to design clothes. He made us like him. Lady Gaga is incredibly creative. That woman is creative, period. Whether you like her creativity, agree with it, she is incredibly creative. End of story. We need to acknowledge that. Everybody is about justice. You see people fighting for their rights. That desire to fight for rights came from God. Doesn't mean they're fighting for the right right. And that applies to you too. That applies to you too. If you go to prison today, in prison, there are ethics in prison. I'm not talking about the guards. I'm talking about the inmates. They have their own law. If you come to prison as a rapist, a child molester, a snitch, you are a marked person. They have their own law. Why? Because God made us moral mirrors to reflect his morality. Now, that desire for justice can be perverted. And as a matter of fact, all the aspects of our God image can be perverted, but it's there. Why? Because God made us in his image. So when you see people living a certain way, they are trying to fulfill the desires and passions of God's image. It just so happens a lot of people do it in a way that's not biblical, but it's God in them. It's their God image in them. So when you say God made me, yes, he might not have made you that way, though. Don't blame God for all that you do. It's a different story. But we do want to acknowledge that all people, no matter how they live, where they are, were made in the image of God and loves them. And one of the ways that our image of God is expressed is that he made us to live in loving relationships. Look at number two in your notes. Look at number two. Build meaningful relationships. Now, you have people. I want you to imagine a person or a type of person. When I say type, their behavior, where they live, what kind of trouble they've been in, what kind of lifestyle they have that you can be critical or have been critical of. I want you to think of one. And it may not be an individual because you might not even know one. You may not know a person like that. And before you criticize them and talk about them, go get to know somebody like that. I wonder how many of you know a gang member. I talked to a lot of people who talk about gang members, never met one. They got a whole lot to say about them. I wonder how many of you know people or are scared to go south of the 94. Now, if you're watching online or you don't know why people are laughing, south of 94 represents where the brown people live. It's scary down there. It's crime. If I go down there as a white person, I might get got. You may think that in your head. A guy told me who lives north of the 52. North of the 52 is where a lot of white people live. A lot of higher income, different kind of crime. Yeah. They call it white collar crime. They make it real nice. White collar crime is not when you rob one person, you rob a bunch at the same time. If that offends you, be offended. Because it's jacked up. And you go to a really nice prison. If you think that that's all racial stuff, it is. But here's the point. I don't want to go to 94. I don't know anybody north of 52. And we talk about each other like we know. I talk about gay people like you know. Prostitutes like you know. And if you don't know people, what are you saying? Don't say it. Just shut your mouth. Go meet somebody. Now, I'm not justifying behavior. I'm talking about how we need to love the people and distinguish the person from the acts of the person. Because we don't know. I was reading about Lady Gaga, how she was bullied as a kid, thrown in the trash can, called all kind of names. That was her life. If you don't know people's life, well, when you do know, you get to understand, you get to have more compassion. If you want to go south of 94, I'll take you. It's real simple. Just drive south. I was talking to a guy, literally, he lives north of the 52, and he says, us white guys, and he wasn't referring to all white guys north of the 52 or the 56, but just a few of his friends. He says, we're scared to go down South 94. It's scary to us. Go to prison. I said, I get that, but I'll take you. And you know what? I'll introduce you to some gang members, and you'll realize that they're just like you. They're not that much different. And once you meet people that you don't know and you talk to them, your heart breaks. And their heart breaks for you. Because we all got issues. And once your hearts are knitted and you seek to understand before you seek to be understood. In other words, I want to get to know you before I start talking about you and you get to know what I believe. You'll see that your love for them, and when I say them, whoever they are, will change. Your behavior, your words will change. And you'll find yourself defending when other people start to gossip. You say, nah, you know what? That's not the whole story. Why? It's not really our responsibility or burden to prove something. The gospel is what it is. Our job is to bring people into a relationship, a loving relationship with Christ, and that they can experience that love when they meet us. Now, let me be clear. Some of you might think, well, aren't you trying to manipulate people? No, you're not manipulating them because you tell them up front this is what you're doing. In other words, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. The best way to bless somebody is to introduce them to the love of Jesus. And the best way to introduce them to the love of Jesus is to love them like the love of Jesus. That's the best thing. So it's not, you know the Bible says love your enemies and your friends. And you can reclassify enemy as love people who don't like you love people who like you. Love people who talk behind your back as people who don't. Love people who disagree with you as people who do. It's the same thing. But if you just love everybody all the same, which is the way Christ loved you, think about how Jesus treated you when you were not walking with him, when you were cursing his name, at least by your behavior. What did he do for you? He was so patient. He was so loving to you. He was encouraging to you. He was trying to gently lead you and woo you. The Bible says he woos us, encourages us to repent through his grace. That's exactly what he's still trying to do through us. He doesn't want you to figure it out and do it on your own. He wants to do it through you. And so when God brings someone into your life or you see somebody who does something, you go, man, that person was made in God's image just like me. And that person has a desire for a relationship just like me. That person has a desire for purpose. That person has a desire and a built-in desire to know God just like me. Something must have caused it not to happen. I need to help. Not point out why. Because I don't even know why. Oh, look at that girl walking the street. You don't know why she's walking the street. You don't. You don't know how many times she's been raped. You don't know if she's been kidnapped and is a slave. You don't know that. But what you do know is that God loves her. And what you do know is that God wants to get to know her. And the only way God's going to do that is through people. And you could be one of those people. That's And talking and criticizing and gossiping is not going to accomplish that. So we have to think, how do I build a relationship with people? So my encouragement to you for point number two is go find somebody that's different than you. Some of y'all come to this church, and you know, we have a lot of different kind of people in this church, which is one of the of God. It just wouldn't be right if it was all the same. Like if it was all white, all black, all Hispanic, all Asian, or all other. Whatever other is. It's everybody. And some of y'all come in and you like that because you want to be around people different than you. And this may be like one of your best environments to be around people like you. This may be one of your safe environments to be around people like you. Like you would, there's gang members that go to church here. There's ex-cons. There's business people. There's professional people. There's unemployed people. There's everything. And you can come and be you know, it's safe. Because, you know, oh, wow, look, there's one of them. but it's okay. We're at church, and nothing's going to happen. I'm safe. You know what? And believe me, I'm saying what some of y'all are thinking. Go meet somebody. Go up to somebody that don't look like you and say, hey, how you doing? I go to The Rock. They are like way out there different than you. There's gay people that go to church here. Just so you know. No, here's my just so you know. Just so you know, you might have heard somewhere from somebody that some people are not welcome at The Rock. That is a bold-faced lie. Has never, ever, ever been true. And the way that truth is going to be reinforced is how we love people. We have to reinforce that. Because that is absolutely not the heart of God. Everybody is accepted and welcome. Now, here's the catch. Jesus says, I'm going to accept you the way you are, but I'm not going to keep you that way. That is true of you, it's true of me, and all of us. Can't come to God with conditions. Now, you can come to church, and you can just, all you want, please, keep coming. But the day you say, Lord, I'm ready, then you got to let it all go. But everybody's welcome, and there's a whole bunch of people. So I would challenge you. Hey, and by the way, if you're one of those scary people, in other words, if you're one of those people that people are scared of, you're all tatted up. By the way, you black, white, Hispanic, and other, you're all tatted. Go up to one of the the college folks. Don't change nothing. Just go. Yo, what's up, man? From The Rock. And just be yourself and just conversate. I'm straight up for real. Don't come community and just be in your little tiny bubble. God's trying to break all that out. Number three. Model servant leadership. Be a servant to people. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who have lifestyles, and I'm not only talking about the alternative gay, lesbian, transgender lifestyle, bisexual lifestyle. I'm talking about drug lifestyles. I'm talking about all kind of lifestyles, no religion lifestyles, atheist life, whatever it is. And ask them about their lifestyle. There are people who are Christian who are living on both sides of the fence. They're Christian on Sunday morning between 10 and 12. And then they got another lifestyle. When you talk to people, just ask them questions instead of telling them stuff. Like, how does your lifestyle work for you? You go to a bathhouse and experience several people in one night? How does that work for you? Does that make you happy? You give yourself over to these people over here, you do drugs all night. How does that work for you? Is it making you happy? Because there's another alternative I would like to share with you. Just build relationships, serve people. I was at the airport, Chicago airport. I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago airport. It's ginormous. We have like a little putt-putt airport compared to Chicago. For reals, if you travel, you know, but Dallas, airports are like as big as downtown, these airports. And I was charging my phone, and this guy wanted to charge his phone near my phone. And when God puts people in my space, I absolutely believe he's wanting me to talk to them. That's what I believe. I assume that. So this guy standing in front of me, we start talking, and I can't remember. I always start like, what do you do? The pack question, what's your name? What do you do? Where are you from? Basic stuff. Then it goes on from there, and he said, well, what do you do? I was like, thank you. I thought you never asked. I said, I'm a pastor. And he says, I've never met a pastor in my life. I said, what? He goes, well, I know priests. I met priests. I go to Catholic church or did go to Catholic church. I said, I met priests, but I never met a pastor. Tell me about it. Tell me about your church and what do y'all believe? What do y'all do? And I was like, oh, brother, thought you never asked. Boom, 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 boom. And I started asking about his life, asking about what he believes and his faith and just questions. And one thing led to another, and I said, would you like to get saved right now? Now, you have to, just imagine we're in the concourse. There's people going by. They got the escalator thing going down the thing, you know, the flat escalator, and people just walk by buying stuff. And we're just standing there by the phone jacks, and he says, I would. I said, listen, I want you to look me right in the eye, and we're just going to look at each other, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I just want you to look at me as you're praying. And he just stood there, and he prayed. Questions. I want to serve you. I want to help you know God. I'm not going to do that by beating you up. I'm not going to do that by talking about what I think is wrong with you because there's so much wrong with me that I can't even see clearly for what's wrong with you. So I just won't go there. But what I do know is that God loves you. And I do know what he has taught me, so I want to share that with you. And you know what? Either way, I want to help you. Let's agree on what we agree on. Let's focus on what we both know is that we both want to be loved by God. It's really simple, by the way. You can make a lot of friends. It's not about making friends. You can avoid making a lot of enemies. Now, is there a place for the Bible says? Absolutely. Is there a place for right? Absolutely. It's how you say it. It's how you deliver it. And if you deliver it like Jesus did and Jesus does, you get a lot of Jesus work done. I was on a talk show, a very, 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 very well-known talk show. And right before we went out, the host said to me, okay, we hear the questions we're going to go over. And by the way, when we go over this question, we're going to talk about when I ask you the question about different religions, let's just say that there are different ways to get to God. And whichever way you pick is okay. And I was like, whoa, Nelly, whoa. Let's slow that horse down, big fella. Why don't we say this instead? Why don't we say that we agree to disagree on some things, but we're going to focus on what we all agree on. Now, the question never came up, but the point of telling you that story is that what you want to focus on is what we all agree on. Is that God made all of us in his image. He does love all of us, and he will accept all of us just as we are. Doesn't mean we're going to stay that way, and he wants to stay that way, but he does, and he's called us, his children, to represent his love, and he wants to love through us. We never want the church or Christianity to be representative of what we are against as much as what we are for. And we never want people to look at the church, I'm looking for love, but I can't get it over there. I'm looking for relationships, but I can't get it over there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here. And if I'm not going to get it from Christ, or if you're not going to get a relationship from Christ, if you're not going to get love from Christ, wherever you get it from is going to be second rate, because Christ, God is love. So we don't want people over here trying to get second rate love. We want to represent God's love, God's way. So here's my challenge to you. The worship team's going to come out. We're going to sing. My challenge to you is, especially as we go through the series, this exposed series, that you start investigating your heart. How can you be more loving to people that don't think like you? Their lifestyle's not what you think is even biblically true. I am so thankful, enormously thankful for the people specifically in this city who disagree with what I believe in the Bible. But yet, we still have relationship. And they don't throw it in my face. They may talk behind my back, some of them, I'm sure. But you know what? We work together great. And we have a great relationship. I actually met a man who oversees one of the biggest advocacy groups for the alternative lifestyle. We met for an hour and a half. And God knit our hearts together. We disagree on that issue, but we agree on so much else. And he actually made that comment in a national publication in an interview he was being interviewed. I think it was Newsweek or something. And then actually the reporter called me and says, I just talked to so-and-so and he said this about you. How do you feel? I said, I feel exactly the same way. We could all disagree, but the point is, what do we agree on? We agree on that love is the most powerful force that God has given us to unite each other. And we need to be known for that. And everything else will follow. Trust me, I'm a hellfire and brimstone guy. I'm not saying that there's no place for that, but let God decide where and when, because God's a surgeon. He's very surgical. He says, I'm going to love you. And at the right time, God will decide when he reveals to people his truth, his way. And he'll tell you. But you want to be known for the love of God. It's like, you know, you turn a light on. We got lights here that can blind you. We just blast you right now. But we don't do that. We just turn. For real. I mean, they're actually called blinders. You see them at concerts where they go, blah. But you don't want to blind people. You want to put light on so they can see. And the best way to put it on is just to love them and serve them. Amen? Does that make sense to y'all? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. For being a good God. Lord, I challenge people to get out of their comfort zone and build relationships and learn to love people. And I pray, Lord, that when people gossip and they start to be critical of others, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would nudge them in their heart and say, nah, nah, nah. And they would just clamp their mouth closed. And that you will purify our hearts towards other people. And we pray for transformation in our lives and transformation in other lives. That ultimately you will be glorified and honored and you will draw all men onto you. We don't need to chase them with a stick. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this. For all of you who might have been offended by some of that racial stuff, I want you to check your heart. Check your heart. And if you're scared to go 94, if you got criticism about people who you think are rich and you think rich people think this way, watch out. It's not what you think. And as I said, get to know some people and God's going to do amazing things in your life. We're going to sing a song and then we'll be dismissed after the song. Go ahead, brother.
In my